Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Welcome all to another episode of FSHD Straight Talk. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and thanks for being here. Great guest in store, as always. This is going to be someone from Germany we're going to talk to. Veronica Hahn is going to be our guest today, and she is going to talk about her FSHD story, of course, a little bit of her family, and maybe a family, does she have one or not? We talk about that. We talk about, more importantly, the physical challenges she puts herself through, which is kind of what got her onto the program here. Because I'm very inspired with the things that she has to say. So if you want to be on the show, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org is the email address. You can also email me your comments, or if you'd like to connect, I'd love to connect with you. I've had people that have done that via email. It's been great conversating with you all. I love the connection. I had someone actually in Appleton, Wisconsin. We met up for a coffee and conversation. I'd be down for that too. Let me know. fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Follow the show, rate it anywhere you find podcasts. Love to hear more about that. This show, of course, is always brought to you by, or helped to be brought to you by, the FSHD Society. And as we venture into this episode with Veronica, she lives in Germany, which is awesome. Another great accent to enjoy, as I selfishly say. But she talks about the course of her FSHD story, a little bit of her family life, and actually what that impacts on choice of what she'll do for her family, for herself. Will she not? The strain that may have put on a relationship. And we all tackle that. We've all had to think about those things. If we have children before our diagnosis, or will we have children after? Family planning is a conversation I know that a lot of us have had or thought of. And then we really, though, key in on the physical challenges she goes through. Obviously in a daily life, she's not severely affected by FSHD yet. She describes how her dad has been and how that kind of led to her diagnosis story. But the physical challenges that she puts on herself on purpose, she trains to be part of these amazing obstacle races. I know a lot of you maybe have heard of like Spartan races. She's a part of those. And one also we kind of key in on called the Braveheart Battle that she just did in March. And she talks about rope climbs and scaling walls. And then towards the end of the race, there is a freezing cold pool of water to swim through. And she describes how that affected her body and then comes out triumphantly. What I key in on in this conversation, and I'd like you to do the same, is some of these great nuggets of, call it inspiration, call it empowerment, call it good mindset. Talks about decisions to go on when she was diagnosed, and gets very detailed of where she was at that exact moment and how she coped and the conscious choice she made to continue. She talks about her training regimen, running 2 times a day, it sounds like, or 2 times a week, excuse me, and then training 4 times in like the weight side of things. She's always wanted to be bodybuilder, strength trainer, those types of things. She's also a doctor of anesthesiology where she is. So she works in an urgent care type situation. She says, I like to be in the chaos and be the source of the calm, is one great nugget. She talks about how FSHD is with her, but she's not willing for it to take too much from her quite yet. It kind of reminded me of the line in the Gladiator movie, the original one, where towards the end, the Gladiator's passed on, and we all probably have seen this movie, and then his battle friend, kind of says, I'll see you soon. Thinking about looking up to the sky to his friend that has passed, but not yet, he says. Like, I still have more to live. I still have things to do. And I think I see that for us as a community with FSHD. Some of us is taken more than we wanted it to. It's taken its share, for sure, the disease. And others, and even those that it has taken maybe too much from, still not yet. I'm not ready for you to take it all. Not yet. Fight a little bit more. And I use the term fight. I use the term battle. That's my words. Maybe something is better for you to use, but all still the same. Veronica teaches us a lot of interesting things here, a lot of different mindset type things without being purposeful to say, this is my mantra, I say. It comes out of her easy, these thoughts, these ways to cope. And I think it's inspirational, the messages that she kind of sprinkles in throughout this conversation. So I'm really excited to bring it to you today. So without further ado, here is the conversation with Veronica Hahn. What you do matters. This year is a pivotal one for our FSHD community. Therapies are at the horizon, and there is excitement in the air. Whether you're living with FSHD, supporting someone who is, or simply care about helping others, there's a role for you. You can help to coordinate community gatherings, welcome new families, advocate to policymakers, raise awareness among healthcare providers, or support events that advance research. Every action drives real progress. No one should face FSHD alone. Get involved and make a difference today. Visit fshdsociety.org/volunteer to learn more about all the things you can do. Big or small, because what you do matters. As promised, we have a guest from, at least from where I am, across the globe here in Germany joining us. It's like 9 a.m. here. I think it's in the afternoon there. But we have Veronica Hahn in. And thanks for joining us. Thanks for spending some time and lining this up and sharing a little bit about yourself. So welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here from around the globe.
Yeah, from around the globe. Yes, yes. And I don't get that experience too often. I've talked to people in Australia, I think the UK. I love the accents, Veronica. I'm not going to lie. I love it. I think they're fantastic from around the world. Mine, I'm sure people think I have one as well.
I always find okay. It's terrible, but yeah, I will be trying.
Well, you know, if you have to throw some German at us, I mean, whole episode, because I will not know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So let's start off a little bit, you know, in just introducing yourself. Tell people about yourself, and then we'll kind of roll into that FSHD story, because you do have FSHD. And so we want to obviously part of why you're here. Let's start with the story there, you know, a little bit about yourself.
So I'm from Germany, as you already told, and from the south of Germany, like near Nuremberg and Munich.
Okay.
Yeah. And I also grew up here. And yeah, my story started when my father got diagnosed. So for myself, I didn't really notice things on me personally. Mm-hmm. I had a scoliosis in my teenage years and this and that, but I didn't really think I was sick.
Yeah.
And my dad, he was okay all his life. In his 50s, 60s, he got issues with his posture, really, and he couldn't hold his head straight. And my mom and me, we are both physicians. And at one point, we told him that's not okay. This is pathological in any way. And this is not you getting older. We have to do some tests. And he didn't really want, and we pushed him into it, really.
Yeah.
And then, the diagnosis started, really, and it was difficult. As for most people with FSHD, the diagnosis takes time, because it's a rare disease, and nobody really knows what's wrong. And so he did some tests, some MRI, and I also looked at it, and I was like, I don't know what it is. I don't know. You can't lift your arms. Your head is, you can't lift your head. You have problems walking. I don't know. Some neurological disease. And in his pictures, also some muscles on one side were like, atrophied. They were like basically not there. And I didn't know. And I studied medicine. I was not finished with my university then, and so I learned all those things. I remember going to my books and reading about all the neurological diseases, and I didn't know really. And then he got to a center in Munich, muscular center where we are specialized. And then those people found out.
Wow.
And
So it was
yeah,
something
so
you were doing your own research on his behalf, trying to figure this out. Did you think at any point that then you could have or be passed on to what
no.
he has?
I thought, I don't know, it could be a worse diagnosis. So my mother and me, we were like discussing it, and could it be ALS or something? And so we wanted to have a diagnosis because we didn't know, and it was worrying, his symptoms. And then he came back from the center with the diagnosis of FSHD, and I was in shock because at that moment I realized this is I could have this, and the chance are 50% because he has a FSHD one. And I immediately knew, because I'm a doctor too, 50% for me. And then I looked at my symptoms, and I was like, I have it. Yeah, that was really hard, because at that moment I thought, I wish I hadn't pushed him to the diagnosis, because for me it's hard because I don't have any kids, and I know for my kids the chance is also 50%, and for my parents it's easy. They already had kids, they didn't know, and I know now, and that changes, it changed your whole life at that moment, your whole life, family planning, a partnership, everything.
That's interesting
And
that
just
you think that direction, right? That early on. You're what, about 26 years old? I think you told me
yeah, I'm
before we hit
26, yeah.
record.
But I have a long-term partner, and we sat there, basically everything fell apart, because
Oh, man.
at that moment you have a partner, and I don't know if I'm getting sick and when. I don't know if we can walk in 5 years. I don't know if I can have kids and if they are healthy, and how can we do that? And that was really hard.
So clearly a strain on that relationship, finding
Yeah.
out that this is kind of an inevitable thing now. You have it,
Yeah.
and then
Yeah.
coping with that. You're right. It can be very difficult for others to kind of walk that path with you, especially, it is a decision they have to make too. Like, am I really
Yeah.
able to do this, help this person? What if this happens? What if that happens?
Yeah.
It's
And
difficult.
don't know. So my dad has a really mild case. His symptoms really started at like his 50s, so he was okay all his life, but you don't know. And I don't know if you know about the methylation repeats. So genetically, usually the DUX4 gene is methylated really heavily in healthy people, and the less methylations you have, the worse the disease. And so with like two repeats of methylations is really low, then the disease is severe. My dad has five, so I have five too. This is like in the middle grounds, but you can't really tell. So I could be in a wheelchair in 10 years, or I'm okay.
It just
And we'll,
all depends.
yeah, so j you just don't know. And this is for me also the tricky thing about the FSHD. So you have a diagnosis, and you know something will happen. It will get worse at some point, and it can be worse in a short time. You lose abilities, and you don't know why. And that's the hard thing. You can tell before, and that's really difficult for me sometimes.
I firmly believe that there's kind of like two sides to this disease. There's the physical things it does to you, and there's the mental, the mindset things. Have you kind of then chosen, like, what's been kind of then your ally to fight the disease? Movement, because I know you do train, we're going to talk about that for sure, is the events, the physical challenges that you put yourself through. So maybe that's a good time to even start there, right? You you did this event called the Braveheart Battle, which has nothing to do with the movie, those that immediately heard the word Braveheart. But it is an obstacle race.
Yeah.
And I looked this up when I knew you're going to be on. And everybody can do that. It translates it for you, those that need to see and read it in English on the website. But the Braveheart Battle, they already are posting for 2027 because they already had, I think, the 2026, of course.
Yeah.
And the first picture you see on their website is these human beings running up a slippery, icy mountain. And I'm going, now I live in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I'm not foreign to snow. Okay. We have a lot of snow here. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing what those people are doing.
Well, it was really fun.
It was fun. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So you gotta tell us a little bit about that and like all the things that go along with that.
I will do. So, my way to cope with all of that is really movement. I was into sports, I think, all my life. I did many things in my childhood, like ballet and tennis. And I was really active. And I started lifting weights, I think, at 20. And then I got into, lifting, bodybuilding. And I found a love for that. I really love it. And so I did strength training for a few years, and I built a lot of muscle. And I didn't know I was sick then. I just enjoyed it. And then I got into obstacle course races. I think the first one was 2025. This was a Spartan race. It's, an
I've
obstacle course
yeah.
race with trail running. So there's a lot of difficult terrain, and you're going up walls and through water. And I thought it was so cool, but I had to start running then. And so I have never thought I would be a runner at any time. I hated running, but I had to start then. And I did.
Yeah.
So I have been running for, I think, 2 years now.
Okay.
And I really enjoy it now. I'm kind of addicted now. So
okay.
And I did my first 5 kilometer Spartan, and then I was like, okay, this is my thing. I love it. And so I decided to do the 20 kilometer Spartan this year.
Wow.
And then a colleague of mine convinced me, hey, there's this race. It's called Braveheart Battle, and it's in March. So sooner, the Spartan is in June, I think. And he got me into that. He said, it's just like Spartan, but with snow, and you have to swim a little bit in ice water. And
what?
It's really fun. Let's do it. And
it's
I was
really
like,
fun. Oh my God.
I was
wow.
like, yeah, call me.
Okay.
I'm coming. I'm there. I will be
okay.
there. And I did that. And then I trained for it really hard, and it worked out. So I did 4 to 5 running sessions per week, and additionally, 4 times strength training too, because you also have to do some climbing and shit. And
there's a lot of that. I mean, there's like a rope cut. Describe like some of the obstacles that you had to go through, either through the Spartan or the Braveheart one.
Yeah,
whichever.
It's the same, actually.
Yeah.
So the trails were really rough. We had snow. It were like skiing trails, actually.
Okay.
There was a skiing area. It was really beautiful there. But you had like walls. You had like ropes to climb. You had pretty at the end a swimming pool, and it was filled with cold water. So I think we had 3 degrees or something, and we had to swim through that. And there were like holes of mud in it, basically. And it's cool, because I think running itself on a street, it's pretty boring for me. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So I think a marathon on the street is, it's not really my thing. I need mountains.
Right.
I need mud. I need to crawl on the floor. I need to go into water. I need to really suffer.
You have to suffer.
I love the pain.
You just were. Yeah. You just said I like to suffer.
I
like
to suffer.
The pain.
It
Why
was,
is that?
I like the pain. It was really some mountains. They were so steep. You had to go on all fours and crawl
Oh my
because you
God.
couldn't walk there. It was too much,
It was
the
too much,
elevation. Yeah,
too
and
steep.
I did that, and yeah, I loved it. I was smiling on all the pictures. I couldn't believe because my body just worked. Yeah, and I trained really hard for it, and I was also afraid I couldn't do it. Or with FSHD, it's always the worry that you could do damage, permanent damage, because when you put overload on a muscle, you could trigger inflammation, and you can risk the muscle basically. And that was one of my worries, but it all worked out. I felt great, and this was not my limit actually. And I couldn't
No.
believe that. And I
Okay.
crossed the finish line. I was like, this was great. I could do more.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
fantastic. That's
Yeah, it's
fantastic.
like the best feeling. I think it was one of the best days of my life. And also one of the hardest courses I ever did. So like 20 kilometers and I think 1,000 meters of elevation. So not a walk in the park, but yeah, I would do again. And in June I'm doing the next one, so
So it doesn't stop. So it's really a rush that you get. And it
yeah.
sounds like the more difficult the challenge or the suffering, so to speak, the
Yeah.
more you seem to like it.
Yeah,
Like
I
the
do.
challenge of it, right? It's like the challenge of that.
Yeah. It's really the event itself, I think, is the celebration because it's the training you do before. So I have a really busy job. I'm an anesthesiologist. And I think my training volume in the weeks before the race was like 15 hours a week. So I work 50 hours to 60 hours. I train 15 hours. You have to be really ambitious to do that. You have to get up at 4:30. You have to run for 2 to 3 hours in the morning. Then you go to work. Then you do 24-hour shifts, and then you repeat. And
Just like that.
it's challenging, but I love it. And I had
Man.
to do that to be able to do the race. And the race is just the celebration because there are so many people there cheering you on. There's always happiness, there's music, and you just celebrate that you
That you're all
went
there.
through all of the training before and you did that alone in the darkness. It was winter. I barely saw the sun running, never, because I did it in the early morning hours. And then there's the race day, and there was sun, and the people were cheering, and it was really just, it's so supportive, the community. It's so cool. I
Yeah, because
loved
there was
it.
something like, I think they said like 800 participants, I think I saw.
I
Does that sound
think,
about
yeah.
right? That's a lot of people.
But compared to Spartan,
Yeah.
it's little event, so it's
Really?
not really known or popular, the Braveheart. I didn't know about it before, so but I will go again next year, I
You'll go
think.
again. So how many events like this do you want to do, like let's say per year? As many as you can, or you try to space it out?
You have to space it out. You have to be reasonable also with the disease. I'm training really hard, but I think, three in 1 year. I'm thinking about doing trifecta Spartan. That means you do like all the Spartan courses in 1 weekend. So for Spartan, there are like three courses, 5K, 10K and 20K, and there's kind of this challenge to do all three in 1 weekend. I'm thinking about doing that in June. So the 20K I will do. I have a ticket for that, but the other ones I'm thinking about that because
I mean, you're
the
already doing
bigger
the
you
20. What's another 5 or 10, right? I mean,
yes. The bigger the challenge, the better. And I'm
Like that.
with the diagnosis, I was not ready to give up my dreams, and I was dreaming bigger. And yeah, when I got the diagnosis, I know the day and the time when that happened. And it was after my 24-hour shift in the hospital, and was a really rough night before. I was in the OR like all the night, and I was pretty tired, but I went to training after because I always do that. And then I was sitting at the squat rack and doing my second set or something. And then I got the call from the genetic center, and they told me, yeah, your tests are there and you have FSHD. And I was sitting there, started to cry, obviously. I already knew that I had it. It was just a confirmation, but then it was reality for me. And then I sat there and cried a little bit.
Yeah. Rightfully so. Yeah.
Then I thought, okay, you can keep sitting here and cry and let it take your happiness, or you get up now and you just go on. And I got up, I did my next set, I did my leg day, I went on, and this is how I deal with FSHD. I have it, but I'm not able to let it take my happiness and my life. I think that's the only way you can really live with it. It's there, but don't let it take over your life. It's not in control, and I think that really was my solution for it. And that's how I live. I just keep pushing, and it makes me happy. And I will do it as long as
Clearly.
I can. Nobody can guarantee. FSHD will take abilities from you, and you don't know when. And it will happen to me too eventually, but I will never stop, I
Yeah.
think.
I love it. Yeah. No, you have a lot of, I'm writing down a lot of mindset nuggets here that, like you're saying, there's like good framework for people to kind of remind themselves. I like how you say there's no guarantee it's going to take it away from you. That is a flip from what most people say. Like I've said, oh no, there's a guarantee, like I'm going to lose stuff. I'm going to lose this and this and this. I think you might be the first person I heard that flips it and goes, well, there's no guarantee it will. Like, right? I mean, that's simple but insightful.
It is. And I was really shocked with, like all of us, I think, with the diagnosis. But either you keep sitting down and be unhappy, or you choose to get up and you choose to keep going and you choose happiness. And there are days where I have dark thoughts too. It's normal. There are hard days, and there's the next day. And you just get up. And you go training and you move your body and you are thankful. I'm so thankful my body can do what it can do now. And I'm thankful for every day. You have to take it day by day, really, I think, because we don't know if it will work tomorrow. But today it does.
Today it
Today I
does.
can run. Today I can do strength training. Today I can deadlift. I can squat. I can do anything. And I'm thankful for that. I'm happy. And if I can't do it tomorrow, then so be it. I'll adapt.
Adaption for sure. Decision, right? You're at the squat rack, you're describing that decision. I either stop, this is my news, I stop and doing what I'm doing, or I just push on. You chose to push on, obviously, and in quite a big way. What part of like how has FSHD been affecting your body so far? Like, what would you say are your main issue or issues?
So in my teens, I had a pretty severe scoliosis. I have
The
it
weakness in there.
now also, but it started in my teenage years, and it was really severe. I had to wear a corset and 24 hours, and my physician said I should also operate on it, but I chose to not do that and to do training instead. It didn't really get better, but it doesn't affect me so much. You can tell if you see me, if you see my back, but I am not in any pain due to my strength, I think. So, and also with time, I think in my 20s, I noticed some additional things. I can close my eyes when I'm sleeping. So I don't
Oh,
notice
okay.
that, but people told me. My boyfriend noticed that if you sleep with open eyes, it's kind of
It's creeping them
scary.
out,
And
Veronica. It's creeping people
they
out,
are
right?
like half open and I don't notice it. I have
Yeah.
red eyes in the morning because they're dry, but
Yeah.
I didn't, and he told me that it was before the diagnosis. I didn't know. I was like, okay, maybe it is like that. And I noticed that my back is changing, my right shoulder is also changing, coming forward.
Okay.
Also, I have pretty severe scapular illata. So this was also a thing I had in my childhood. And the other children always find it scary because my scapula could move like
Right.
anywhere and were ringing. And I thought, okay, I have that. That's
So
just
what?
me.
Yeah.
And also, you know, my face muscles are really affected. If I'm at any social event, I have to smile much or something. I have to do some mimics. I feel that it's so painful if I have to do it for hours.
Soreness.
It really hurts in my face to smile all the time, and that's pretty hard. Also, I cannot whistle anymore. That's something I could in my childhood. I can't do it anymore, really. And also in my strength training, I notice that I lose muscle now. So I'm not moving the weights I used to. So
So you're
that's
noticing some
declining.
type of changes in your body from the training you've done to the training you are.
I
There's some
can't lift so heavy
deficits.
anymore. And I didn't train less, so it's not normal. But you always
You're
have to
right.
see I can do more than healthy people. I can do, I don't know, 50 push-ups or something. It's possible I can do it, but for me it's declining still. So
It's taking its toll, or at least it's showing itself to you a little bit at a time. But you're probably in you're no question. I mean, back in the day, they would say don't do any movement. But I think now there people are saying do more, do more, do more. I think this is probably why you're fighting it off the best you can with the training that you're doing, extreme as it may be. It is working. How about nutrition? Do you like have certain foods you watch out for, or a certain like regiment of like diet that you do, or is it just like I'm just gonna pound and eat food and who cares?
No, I would not call it diet. I have a pretty healthy diet, I would say. So I for years I prioritized protein. For a bodybuilder, it's obvious we love protein. And I eat like 2 grams per kilo of protein. I think that's a really, really important point because protein equals muscle, and so that is something I would recommend. I'm taking creatine. That's also a thing I would recommend for people, also with FSHD. It just supports the muscle metabolism, and that made really an impact for me. So with creatine, I can lift like 20% more, and it's good for your performance of the muscle, but also for the mind. So creatine is a supplement which is really good. It's in studies, it's evaluated really good, and it's safe, and it really works for most people. But also it's good for the mind. You are awake, you can focus better, and also for the muscles. So that's a thing that helped me the
That's good.
best, I think. And some supplements like vitamins, omega-3s, that's additional, and that I'm taking that, but
So you're conscious of it.
or have
You understand what you're putting into your body. I mean, you're very
yeah
conscious of like diet to some degree. I totally agree with like the creatine. I take it myself. My kids take it too.
yeah
Not because they have FSHD at this point that we can tell, but more just because they're young guys and they're like, hey, I'm going to lift and do exercise. You get a little
Yeah.
more return on your investment when you're training if you take the creatine
Yeah, it
and the
is.
proteins. It just kind of fortifies what you're what like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Totally good recommendations. Now, Your professional world, because you did mention that you were a doctor, what field of medicine are you in?
I'm an anesthesiologist.
Anesthesiologist. That's a
Yeah,
big
so I do
word.
anesthesia and
Yeah.
intensive care medicine.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but I'm 26, so I'm in my second year now. I'm
Okay.
not that experienced, but I love the job.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I wanted to do, and yeah, I just
Yeah.
love it. Every
Yeah.
day I go to work and I'm happy that
Oh,
I
it's
can do
great.
that.
Yeah.
I'm really an action person. I need action. I need emergencies, and I'm at the front row in this job.
That
But it's
is true.
demanding. We have really long shifts, and it's also difficult for the body sometimes because you don't get sleep when you work 24 hours. And I can't stop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a
Yeah,
constant motor,
I
right?
like to care for people, and I like to be in situations where you have to be the calm in the chaos. And that's what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And the training that you do prepares you for the chaos of a event, right? And those sound very chaos, right? Like a lot of people,
Yeah.
obstacles, extreme conditions. I had one question that popped in my head when you talked about the obstacles you had to go through.
Yeah.
The icy water.
Yes.
Okay. So we need to kind of like be in your mind here. So you're running up to or moving quickly to this area of water. I mean, am I
Yes.
describing this correctly? And
Yes.
you have to jump in to the water.
Yeah, you just go
You just do
and
it.
you just do it. I trained for it because I knew that there will be ice water,
Yeah.
and I trained for it. I had like a ice bath at home. I bought
Okay.
like a
Yeah.
big thing for rain, and
Yeah.
we filled it with water and
Okay.
put some chlorine in it, and then it was winter, so we
Yeah.
had minus degrees, and then I sat in there.
Just sat in there.
I sat in
Because
there.
I'm just going to do this today. Okay. Okay.
I just did that, and
Yeah.
I did that every weekend to prepare, and it really
Yeah.
worked. So it's really demanding. You go in and you can't breathe, and
Yeah.
because it's so cold. And the technique is you just have to focus on your breathing and get that under control. And if your breathing is controlled, everything's fine. After like 30 seconds, you don't feel anything because it's so cold that your body goes
Yeah.
numb. And then it's okay. It's pretty
Yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
And then you just go out after a time.
Just do it.
That worked really good for me. So at the race, the problem was not the coldness of the water. I just
Okay.
went in. But my muscles were really good all of the race, and when I got into the water, my calves, they were like, okay, this is too much. We're starting to cramp now. That's
Yeah.
not a good thing if you have to
No.
swim because the water was, I think, 3 meters,
Okay.
and I couldn't stand there, so I had to swim. But my calves were like, this is not happening. I managed. I managed. So you can swim even
Yeah.
with cramping calves. It's okay.
It's okay.
If you ever
Oh,
want to do that.
my God. So don't panic. Keep your breath going. Let the calves scream at you all they want. Let those legs do their thing and then just fight through.
Just go. It's possible. Focus on you, on the breathing, and then just go. It will be okay. And
Yeah.
it was
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the event after you got out of the water? Then what did you have to do? Was the race over or did you have to do something else?
it was pretty at the end, so
Yeah.
it was human.
Okay.
And then I think there were like a few holes with mud in it, and you had to go through that. But you were wet anyway,
Why
this
not?
way. And then you had
Right.
to climb some ropes, and I think you also had to hammer a nail in a piece of wood. And that was really because
That's
you were
hard to
freezing cold.
concentrate. Yeah, like,
You had
yeah.
no coordination at all, and I fucked that up completely. But Yeah, there are pictures of it. It's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. That's great.
nobody will
That's
see
great.
the pictures of
No.
that when they went anywhere, but not in. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have never thought
And
that would be part of it. Yeah. Here, build this house
yeah,
real
it
quick.
was
Yeah.
funny.
That's
Yeah.
funny.
They thought about all the details and they
For
killed
sure.
us.
Yeah.
But I loved it all
Wow.
the way.
Wow. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember at the I think one of the last kilometers, and I was feeling fine, and I was seeing that the race will be over soon, and then you had to get a bad sandbag, I think 20 or 30 kilos, and you had to
Okay.
run up a hill again. I thought this is a joke. And you couldn't even walk there. The people were like crawling with this 20 kilo bag. I was
Oh my
like,
God.
okay, fuck. But we
You
survived.
did it. Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. But yeah, for the organizers of the race, yeah, congrats.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done. I'll be back
Yeah,
next year, you say. Yes.
yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I will be back.
Wow. So then now you're training now then for the Spartan events in June. It sounds like that's what's
Yes.
coming up. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. That's exciting. Wow. You've shared a lot. I mean, I think this has been a very inspirational in a lot of aspects. Now I know
Hope
it's
so.
yeah, for sure. So last question for you is, and I'd like to ask people this that have FSHD, and especially the ones that do what you do, like what you've taken on, your training, the goals you set for yourself, your professional life. You're busy, you're empathetic, you like to be in the battle, you like to be the calm, you said. I mean, these are really, I think, important things for people in our community to hear some maybe advice from you, which is the question is, if someone's like recently diagnosed, they just got diagnosed, and you know what that's like, right? That wasn't that long ago. What advice would you give them?
I would say, and don't let it win. So don't let FSHD have control over your life. It will be there, but don't let it take over your happiness and your goals, your dreams, because I think there's so much that it is possible.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that I could do the things I can now. I would have never believed. And keep going, don't let it win, and dream big. Don't let
Nice.
it take your dreams away, because I think this is like the essence of it. We have to accept that we have a disease. And we can't predict how it will be, but we can still live our lives and get after our dreams. And that is what I try to do. It's not always easy, but we have to keep going.
Yeah.
We have to keep going, even if, yeah, we have to take our cross. I'm myself, I'm a person of faith also, and that's maybe also a thing I want to share. Jesus, he had his cross and he carried it, and everyone has a cross to carry, and this is ours. I don't know why, but we carry that, and you can. If you have to carry that, you can carry that. And that's how I see it, really. I take that cross and I carry it in this life, and I'm able.
Yeah. Wow. That's inspiring almost more than the rest. That was great. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Veronica, for joining us all the way from Germany, spending some time with us, inspiring people. Good luck in June on the race. If people want to follow you on social, is there anywhere they can do that? So maybe if you're posting things about your training or race or anything like that they could kind of view that.
Yes, really. I have it's a channel. It's Beyond FSHD.
Okay.
It's a really small channel, but
Yeah.
I'm posting about training and some
Nice.
mindset stuff there. Not every day, but If I have time, I do that. So if anyone wants to join,
Yeah,
beyond
absolutely.
FSHD.
Yeah. Awesome. Beyond FSHD. Love it. Thanks, Veronica, for joining
Thank
us.
you.
Take care. Good luck. Stay
It
healthy.
was really great.
Stay strong. Yeah. Glad you enjoyed it. Thank you.
I enjoyed it. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, that we've had some athletes on here for sure. And this is just another, maybe some might think, but from Germany, those kind of races, the Braveheart battle that she did, the Spartan that she's preparing for. We touched on a lot of amazing topics. I think some things we only scratch the surface, you know, starting with family, even to the present of what she's training with, battling through diagnosis story, even thoughts of IBF and like how that affect her relationship. I think we've all been there. It's very relatable. Love her attitude. And I know there's going to be some out there. I'm going to play like a devil's advocate. Yeah, but she can. She's not as affected as me or things like that. And this comparison story might start happening for you. And I get that. I mean, I'm there too. I can't do what she does. I couldn't climb a rope. But can I do something of the version of that? Or can I train like I will? Maybe I can get off my butt a little bit more and kind of get after it. Maybe that's really how I see it for myself. It's like, what, you know, why do I have so many excuses in my way to not do the things I need to do? Is it a matter of time? Am I not making time for it? We all have those things, those obstacles that are true FSHD like obstacles. And I think there's also obstacles we create and use, if anything, maybe to shield ourselves so we don't have to challenge ourselves in such a way because of this disease. I don't know. You know, I'm not a psychologist. I'm trying to be a life coach, maybe at best, but it's like, you know. Veronica is inspirational for me of many things in how she sees the world, sees herself, sees our community as really it appears to be powerful, and I know we all agree with that, but powerful isn't like we can move things, and we didn't discuss about this too much. I kind of wish we would have, but she even talked before we hit record about how in Germany there's like two or three trials going on, and she's trying to get into those. So I apologize we didn't touch on that, but there's hope there on the Germany side of like what's happening. There's one she said in phase three. So she sees these things as like positive, and now what can I do personally to kind of push and then be this example? So I hope you follow her beyond FSHD on social, probably Instagram and those things, those places to find more information on what she's doing. Love the fact she was here. And my big takeaway really is when she said there's no guarantee FSHD will take something away. And I'm usually a person that I try to take thought and then flip it and go, what if I thought about this in the opposite perspective or turn it around and see it from this point of view? I've never thought of it from that point of view. And I'm almost mad at myself for not doing that. Maybe that'd be more helpful. Maybe that simple twist of viewpoint is something that might help you. So we know it will take something, but there's no guarantee it's going to take certain things or that thing. There isn't. It's fascinating to me. The things that a human will go through to challenge themselves. You know, ice water, swimming through that, carrying a huge bag of sand, whatever amount of kilometers to end of a race, all prior to that, doing extreme elevations and she likes it. The more difficult, the more she liked the challenge. It sounds like an FSHD person to me. I think sometimes the more difficult the challenge, the more we step up. Every day is a challenge. Every day is a battle. How are we gonna fight it today? And I know it's exhausting. And I hope this story, I hope this guest maybe helped you push a little more, give you a little more tools in your toolbox to attack your day, to attack this disease. That was really my hope to having Veronica on. If you want to be on the show, have a guest that you want to nominate, even FSHD Radio at FSHDSociety.org. As we wrap it up, I appreciate everybody listening. Thanks, Anne and Aaron and FSHD Society for always helping to get this show off the ground each and every episode. Always appreciate them. Appreciate everyone that listens and watches the program. Make sure you share it beyond the borders of our community. I think these stories are inspirational to beyond just our group, our community. I think it helped so many others. That's really the purpose of this Straight Talk podcast. And always appreciate you guys being on here. Once again, email address FSHDradio@FSHDSociety.org. Till next time, take care, Stay strong, fight the good fight. We battle, train, follow Veronica Hahn now, another person you can add into your list of people for inspiration, and always appreciate you. Thanks for listening. This has been FSHD Straight Talk Podcast.